to souls tonight. I believe that there are those who have become so discouraged that they don't really know whether they should go on or not. And I believe the Lord would speak to you from this word tonight and would encourage your hearts. Amen. I believe that God would have you to see something here that will set you on a bedrock and will bolt you down to it and weld the bolt to the nut so you can't back it off, so you'll stay there forever. There is a place in God where you become committed, where you say like David, "My heart is fixed, O God." Now, he can get along all right. Just keep your attention here. There is a place where you say like David, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." I am, as pastor of this assembly, deeply concerned when I see people ready to give up the Lord Jesus Christ and all the promises and the glory of heaven, their place in the body, the place where God has called them, and all the training that He wants for them in an evil and troublous last days because of some little distress that blows their way. That baffles my mind. It disturbs me to see people ready to give up their faith. And many have done so. They have tasted of the glory of God, the good things of the world to come, having an earnest in their own hearts of heaven, knowing Christ who bought them, and they're willing to set it aside because they have it figured in their head is too hard. Brother, if this is too hard, try hell. It's no easier out there, brother. There's no honey out there. There isn't the love. There isn't the strength. God doesn't come on your behalf. You're out there living in that world of sin. You're getting wrapped chain after chain. You're going sinking down in the mire and the darkness. You're slipping. You're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. It's not easy. Once you've tasted of God, known Him, you can never be happy without Him. Listen to the words of the Almighty God. Let them strike home in your heart tonight. Let them pound there like a trip hammer until your sensibilities are shaken at what the Almighty really is saying. What is He really promising you? Where are you tonight? Where is your mind? What do you hold to? Well, what is the anchor of your faith? Let me start at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Aren't you glad He helps you in your infirmities, your weaknesses? For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Now what do I pray for? I don't even know how to pray. You feel that way sometimes? I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to pray for anymore. But the Spirit itself comes to our rescue. Makes intercession. Comes to our rescue. Makes intercession for us. Interceding for us. For groanings that we cannot utter. Groanings way down deep in our soul. I'm giving you some of this as the literal Greek says it. And He that searcheth the hearts, I'm glad there's somebody searching our hearts, and who knoweth the mind of the Spirit, this should be a small s here, it's the human spirit, He knows your spirit. He knows your spirit. He knows that inner cry and that inner longing, my friend. You're weeping on the inside, He knows. You're crying out for something, He knows. Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to God. according to God. Have you ever stopped to consider that He comes to your rescue according to Himself? Thank God He doesn't come according to ourself. We want shiny knives as one-year-old babies and big cake to eat. And He won't give it to us, but He'll come to our rescue when you cry for the cake and you put some milk in your mouth. He comes to your rescue according to God, which is the only basis to do anything for you on, is God, the one who really knows. Thank God He doesn't answer all of your prayers the way you want them answered, but He does answer them according to God. Some people have a hard time understanding this. Some young ladies say, well, I'm not as young this year as I was last year. And I wasn't as young last year as I was the year before. And you have to pardon me, Pastor, but I need a husband. I mean, I need one psychologically. Yes, I believe that. God has ordained it such. You say, but He's not answering my prayers in any direction, doesn't look like to me. Does it ever occur to you that the man He has for you needs to be worked on before you get him? And does it ever occur to you that you need to be worked on before He gets you? And does it ever occur that it might be better to step in on a higher plane after waiting and be so thankful for Him, you just grab each other like that and you're up at a high plane, then to saunter on in at this low plane and fight it through? It's better that He answers our prayers according to God. And we know that God works together for good in all things, as the Greek says. He works together for good in all things. There's not one thing that won't happen to your life, calamity or no, good or bad, any blunder you make, He will work to turn it into good. Now, it won't necessarily be as good as it would have been had you not gone that way, but He'll turn every calamity into a blessing if you let Him. You lose your own child, He'll draw you closer to God in it. Your house burns down, He'll teach you the folly of materialism. He'll work for good in everything until you love Him the more. That's right. You'll come through the child death and the house burning a stronger Christian. Or you'll come through a backslider, one of the two. You won't come through the same as you were before it happened. God works together for good to all things to them who are the called. Aren't you glad that you're called? According to His purpose. Did you know that you were never called according to your own purpose? You say, well, how about my ministry? May I kindly remind you that it's not your ministry? May I remind you that it's God's ministry? That He had called you according to His purpose. Well, I can't be up late Sunday night. I have to get my kids in bed. Does it ever occur to you that they are God's children? They are His sons. And He may want them in a revival atmosphere and to hear the Word of God. For whom He did foreknow. Aren't you glad He knew you ahead of time? Now, see, here's the amazing thing. You say, well, I'm going through all kinds of devilish torment, difficulties. I mean, Pastor, I have to admit it, I'm not even walking with God straight. I'm all crooked. Did He call you? Did He call you? Well, I'm not walking with God as I should. I'm sinning. I'm having trouble. Did He call you? Well, yes, I know He called me. I could never come to Him. He called you by foreknowledge, did He? Didn't He know ahead of time that you were going to be doing this? Well, yeah, I guess He knew. He called you anyway, didn't He? Does that tell you anything? He called you anyway.
But I'm in trouble.
He called you anyway, knew all about it. He knew every fault you'd ever make, every stumbling, and he says, I call him. I'm going to call him and her and him and her. He called you, my friend, knowing your frame is as dust. Because he has higher designs for you than you have for yourself. Besides that, he's got more confidence in himself than you have in him. And you see, well, I have confidence in God, I just have confidence in myself. I've got news for you. He has no confidence in you either. But he has more than enough confidence in him to make up for the lack of confidence in you. If God was trusting you for this matter, he'd abandon the whole plan all a long time ago. He's trusting himself. He says, you see, but I'm clay of the earth, Lord. He says, I know how to work clay. I made it. I designed the clay. I don't know how to work it. Look what I did with clay. Human being is quite a marvelous attainment from the dust of the earth, I'd say. Go ahead and get your shovel out there and get the elements. Let's see you make a man like that who can think, worship God, love. I think he knows what to do with clay. Are you saying that God is a great watchmaker and he made a watch and he can't fix it? He designed it and doesn't know what to do with it? For whom he did foreknow, also he did mark out ahead of time to predestine, make a destination ahead of time, to mark out ahead of time. He's already marked you out, brother. What's he marked me out for? To be conformed, that means molded, like clay, to be conformed to the image of his son. Wow. That is something. He never marked you out to do your own thing. He never marked you out to make the gospel relevant to the new atomic age. He marked you out to be changed, conformed to the image of his son. Now, if God knew, if he already foreknew, and he called you and marked you out to be conformed to the image of his son, don't you think you're going to be conformed to the image of his son? Since he foreknew you, then why do we complain? Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? Church, you hear me? Why do we doubt? Moreover, why did he mark you? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. That means he has identified with us as and he is going to be the firstborn, and we are going to be the secondborn. That means that we are going to be like him, that he has tabernacled among men and made himself like us that we might align with him. See, as sons of God. He's put us in a place where we are going to be like Christ. We're his body. We're going to end up being that perfect man that God wanted us to make. He's promised this. This is something quite marvelous. So why are you looking at yourself, oh sick one? Why do you look at yourself in your sick bed and say, well, I got spiritual polio and I can't walk? The great physician has spiritual therapy for you. And when he gets through with the physical therapy, you will walk again. You say, but I'm full of disease. Disease means dis-ease. You're at dis-ease. But he's going to put you at ease. He's going to heal. By his stripes, you are healed. Body, soul, and spirit. The whole man. He is going to get you just where he wants you. Which is himself. I think this is a marvelous revelation. I would rather go to church with this revelation than go to church just to go to church. Wouldn't you? This is something you get in your heart, you'll never be discouraged again about yourself, the saints of God, or God himself. You cannot be discouraged with this knowledge that's in your heart. It keeps me going. Brother, I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged every single day. I don't care how bad things go, I'm encouraged. Because it stands written, and I'm committed to this. I am committed to this doctrine. If this doctrine is not true, then I preach everything wrong. Everything's on a false foundation, because this is my whole premise for everything I operate on. It's the premise of my whole ministry. It's the premise of my everything I do, is that God has said it, therefore it will be so. And I cannot be discouraged with that, because I am looking for the finished day. If everybody in this church all got up and walked out and disowned the whole church, nothing had to do with it, I still would know that God will make a people that He wants, just like He wants. I know that. It wouldn't make any difference how many people left. If everybody on the staff left, we would not be swamped. I have a commitment. I have a firm conviction. If every big giver and tither, as they say, would leave the church, we don't have many of them. People sacrificing big, percentage-wise, you know, but no big money men I know of. If you all left the church, we would still expand and build for God. I believe that with all my heart. And God would still put the money through people, too. He wouldn't rain it out on the floor from heaven. It wouldn't make any difference who we lost or what happened, or if we lost everybody here. God is still going to have His people. And I'm committed to that. The only person that's inexpendable to God's program is Jesus Christ. And that's all. He can lose any minister, he can lose any apostle, he can lose any worker, he can lose anybody there is, and His program will go right on. Are these fans on? Ushers, be sure they're on. Okay, I guess they are. See people out there fanning. That's fine. It just looks like Lewiston. You go over the other side over there on church, and people doing that's fine. Go right ahead. Didn't bother me a bit. Moreover, there's more yet. Moreover, He's already told us enough to dance all the way into the kingdom of God, all the way into glory. Moreover, more on top over all that, whom He did mark out ahead of time, them also He called. And whom He called, them He also justified. That means to be made just in His eyes. Justified means you are not just in His eyes, but He made you such. He accounted you as such. You are now accounted as just. You take a young girl, young lady, 20 years old, we'll say, you march her down the aisle with a white veil on, or without it. She comes up on the platform, and a young man comes up. They slip rings in one another, and even that doesn't have to be done. And the minister says, and didn't say anything else, and he says, before God, by the authority invested in me, by God and man, I now pronounce that you are one flesh. You are man and wife in Jesus' name. Amen. Those two people are not man and wife. Now they are man and wife. It is accounted as man and wife. From now on, you are counted man and wife. You're now to walk off as man and wife. You're not to walk off and say, well, honey, the impact just hasn't hit me on this thing yet. When it hits me, well then, you know, then... But right now, it hasn't hit me. I just can't seem to believe. Help me believe this, honey. Help me to believe, see? It just hasn't hit me yet. I'll go pray about it. Pray about it. There are so many people praying about things. We should say, get up off your knees. What are you praying for? There's nothing to pray about. You already know, brother, believe God. God says, I love you. Your husband says, I love you. Well, I'll go pray about it. No, he said it. Therefore, we may boldly say, as I brought you the scripture this morning, he says, therefore, we may boldly say, have to go pray about it. People have to run and pray about everything all the time. Believe God. Save yourself doubting him at the altar, praying about what you already know. A lot of prayer is just doubting. I'll go pray about what I refuse to believe in. See if you tell me the second time if you don't believe in the first time. Makes that prayer not so look so good, doesn't it? He justified, and whom he justified, I like this next part. Then he also glorified. He foreknew you, he marked you out, he called you, he justified you, and now he's gonna glorify you. Bring you into glory, make him like him like I can do himself. What shall we then say to these things? Now what are you going to say? Amen. Amen. Yea and amen and hallelujah too. Who will contest these things? Now what excuse do you have, O complainer and doubter? Since he says you work together for good in all things. Oh, but you don't know what I've been going through. I know that, but he does. And he still will cause good to come out of it and make you strong when you get through. You will still be glorified. And so will that brother that you're blaming. He's going to glorify him too. And when two glories get together, if God be for us, who can be against us? Do you believe God for you? Then your worries are over. Suppose you had a tug of war. Everybody in Community Chapel on the other side of the rope, excepting you and God. Would you be discouraged? Okay, everybody in the whole world on the other side of the rope, excepting you and God. Would you be discouraged? Wouldn't you have a glint in your eye? Then why should we worry? But that brother said, oh, brother, you got some little puny complainer on the other side of the rope, and you and God on this side, and you're worried? What are you worried about? What are you trying to take my ministry away from me? Can anybody take your ministry away from you if God gives it to you? What, he's trying to shut the door? Isn't he the one who opens the door that no man can shut? If you and God are pushing on this side of the door, is any man going to push it shut? Isn't so much of our worrying so absolutely needless? Doesn't it mean that we are walking down in valleys where God wants us on the hilltops? Aren't we losing something? Aren't we losing the cream on top of the milk, as it were? Aren't we spending time moaning when we should be spending time praising? If God be for you, it doesn't make any difference. You can line everybody up from here all around the equator 7 times. It makes no difference. God for you, he'll see that you accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And you are the only thing that you're the biggest potential hinder of yourself, you know that. Because nobody else can pluck you out of his hands. But he's not going to hold you if you bite him. You're the only one you have to worry about. Nobody else. All the communists in the world can't stop you from preaching the gospel. He that spared not his own son, now get this, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God would take his only begotten Son, who is pure, hates evil, is altogether lovely, and satisfies his heart purely. And he made man just to get a man like that. And was willing to give him up for sinners you like you and I. Willing to trade him for you and I, to let him go down and taste of death and all that is involved of it for you and I. Then don't you think, since he made that kind of a swap, that he will see us through? God says in the Old Testament about his elect, he said, I have traded nations for you. I could have had Edom and Assyria, Moab, Ammon, all the rest, but I traded them for you. If you're God's elect, then will he not also freely give you all things? Since he did that for you, did he do it in vain? Knowing all things ahead of time, would he do it in vain? Is your faith in God building at all tonight? I hope so. I hope I never hear a complaint of the rest of my life if I live to be a million. And I don't think the rapture is that far off. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Now there's a strong one for you. God says, I have foreknown this one, I have called him, and I have justified him in my own blood. Now, who's going to stand up and lay any charge to my elect, the one I have elected, since it is God who justifies? Now do you dare judge your brother? Isn't that one getting kind of rough? Is the impact hitting you at all? Maybe your sensibilities are shocked so much you can't even say anything. Maybe you're speechless. I hope so. And I hope you'll be speechless from now on out about your brother or sister. It is God who justifies. That means you can't even touch me, brother. That's right. You can't say anything about me anymore. Because he's called me, he has justified me, and who of you shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. You can't even touch yourself, because you're not your own. You're bought with the blood of Christ. You don't belong to yourself. Paul says, I judge not myself. If you have no right to judge another brother, you've got no right to judge yourself. Because he put you on the blood the same as them. And he loves you the same as them. And you're not your own and they're not their own. And you both got the same judge and you're in the same family. You got no business to pick on yourself. You leave yourself alone. Well, after all, I was the one who did it. I was the one who did it. Yeah, but you came to God and asked him to forgive you too. And you gave yourself to him and you promised that you promised to trust God for your life and for your sins. And you accepted him as your Savior from now on out. And it was on that premise that he took you into the family of God that you would trust him for your sins. And you laid you all on the altar, made a blood covenant. And he's only loaned yourself to yourself just under certain circumstances. And he said, you leave yourself alone. You don't have a right to commit suicide, you know that? You have no right. You don't belong to yourself. You can't abuse your body even. He says, you're temples of the Holy Ghost. You're not temples of yourself. You leave your body alone. Quit abusing it. It's my temple. Brother, you get this truth into you. Your complaining days will be over. And all the criticalness and fault-finding and the hopelessness and despair that follows such actions. Eventually, God's going to get these truths into us so we'll walk in them. You know you can walk in these truths and keep above all these things? I don't go under every day. No. I don't look to myself and fall and get all discouraged. And I don't look to you and get discouraged. I say, Lord, you have sure got a master plan. Spring it whenever you want, Lord. But he's working every day. I'm seeing signs And even think, well, yeah, that's some of you, but how about others? We've been sitting here like a dead stone here for 3 or 4 years. I know. He'll get to you. He's got a bigger wave that'll crash you into the beach. You won't take, little ones won't float you in, but he's got a bigger one that'll move you in. He has something for you. He's got a blockbuster down the way. It may take something. I mean, you know, it might hurt, but he's got a way of getting you there. Pam Faust's father came to the Lord. Alcoholic, riding the trains, took both legs off, but he came to the Lord. Brian Sturgenberg came to the Lord. He was a pole vaulter that he broke his back. Then he sought God. Some people can land right side up and come to the Lord, and some have to land upside down to come to the Lord, but he'll get you there. He'll get you there. Who is he that condemneth? Stand up, cast the first stone. Stand up, accuse your brother by name. Stand up, accuse your brother by name, and cast the first stone, if you're ready, if you're guiltless. Right now, stand on your feet. And do it now or forever hold your peace. If I am at fault, and you're in a proper position to judge me, stand up and let it come in front of the assembly. Or hold your peace and never blame me again. And don't ever blame one another again. And don't ever blame yourself again. Or stand up. And declare that on the authority of God's word, you have a right to blame yourself or any other brother. You've got 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, last chance, 1, 0. We got that settled. We won't have any more problems with that. Praise the Lord. Now that's good. I feel better about that now. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who is also maketh intercession for us. He comes to our rescue. He intercedes on our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He died for us. He's not going to easily die in vain. Wouldn't it be something he died out of love for us and decided not to love us? And all that death is in vain? He's not that stupid. He's the Lord of glory. He knows what he's doing. Shall tribulation? Suppose you're going through trials. Will they separate the love of Christ? You can go through any kind of trial you are. Saints have gone through trials in the past. Oh, thank Jesus, I love you so much. Just love God through all the trials and tribulations. Distress. You send a distress signal. I'm in distress. The love of Christ is still right there. He loves you. He loves you in all your physical and spiritual distresses. And you can feel his love and keep on loving him right doing it, if you will. Or persecution. They can persecute you. They burned some at the stake and they sang in the love of Jesus while they were burning at the stake. Or famine. You can be hungry. Your stomach bloated with gas. But oh, Jesus, I love you still. I love you anyhow, like the little card says. I love you, Jesus. I'm miserable, I love you. I hurt, but I love you. I haven't got any food, but I love you. I don't have enough clothes, but I love you. I'm out here in the cold, but I love you. All men wag their tongue at me, but I love you. You're allowing me to suffer for a reason. It must be I'm going to be a pretty pure piece of gold when I get there. You must do something wonderful for me. The worse man puts upon you, the greater glories God will give you. God said to Israel, he said to the Chaldeans, all right, because Israel sinned, I brought the Chaldeans to punish them. But they were too hard on my people. And now I'm going to be harder on the Chaldeans, and I'm going to bless Israel even more.
Well, people have been beating me up, throwing rocks and smashing me, and I've been going through all kinds of things.
God says, all right, just for that, I'm going to get more glories for you in heaven. I'm going to make you stronger. I'm going to bless you even more. The more they beat you up, the more I'll bless you. He's a wonderful God. His heart is full of oikairo, mercy. Nakedness, or peril, or sword. They can't even kill you. Do you know that? You know nobody can kill you? No, you can't be killed. Oh, they can kill your tent if you live in, but they can't kill you. You'll go on forever. You'll never die. He that believeth me shall never die. Believest thou this? You'll never die. They feed you the lions, you keep on living. It's a shortcut home, that's all. You're still living, you don't die. You don't die. You separate from your body, but you don't die. Nobody can kill you. Be sure you go to the right place. You're going to last a long time. Forever. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Now, if you're doing it for Jesus' sake, why complain? It's for his sake he's lying to happen. Because they love Jesus, they're persecuting you. Well, even saints are persecuting me. Yes. Because the devil's mad inside of them, because they love you. Because God loves you and God loves them. So even the saints are fighting one another because God loves you both. Got the flesh all stood up with each other. But it's for his sake. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through a certain channel. Through him that loved us. That's the key, because he loved us. He'll do this for us because he loved us. Through him, but you must go through him. Now, what does that through him mean? It means this. Out there, there's somebody who hates you. There's even a brother who despises you. That should not be. And over here, there's a rock aimed at you. And over here, there's a burning. And over here, there's something else. But through Christ between you and circumstances. You go through Christ. Christ is like your shield. Something comes your way, put Christ in it, and come right through Christ, through his will. Right through Christ. And if you keep Christ, he is the way of escape from all the temptations come upon you. He is the way, walk ye in it. I am the Hodas, walk ye in it. I am the way. And if you will walk in the footprints of Jesus, in the way, no temptation or problem will ever swamp you. You will have to admit that all swampings come because you step out of his footprint. Jesus was never swamped. And he's given you the strength. Anybody who is swamped has left faith. And the footpath is faith. If you ever swamped, it's not because of people. And it's not because of the devil. Oh, they may push you. But it's because you, with all the storms and people, have not taken the sufficient strength of God. You see, but I've tried to, I know, but trying to doesn't do it. But I don't know how to do it. Well, I'll tell you how to do it. Believe his word. Now, that shouldn't be difficult. Because you know who God is. You know he's believable. To believe God should not be difficult. Because you know it's stupid not to believe God. It's utter stupidity to doubt God. And all you have to do is believe God, and you couldn't possibly be in despair. There's no room for despair for those who believe in God. Do you believe that? How about the rest of you? The Holy Ghost said, stop worrying about even one thing. Do you think he said that when it would be... You think you're telling the truth, you say, I can't? Oh, the Holy Ghost, oh, I see, you can't. Well, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'm the Holy Ghost, and I lied, I followed that all up. You corrected me. Thank you, man. Thank you, creation, for correcting your creator. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But I can't. That is not the truth. That is a lie. And you have to pardon me if I tell you where it comes from. Right from the pit of hell. God says you can, and the devil says you can't. Now, you will take your choice. You say, but I can't. Oh, yes, you can. You are not taking the promises of God. You're twisting something along the way. Nobody is swamped but what doesn't twist something along the way. You've twisted it. You believe the devil's lie. And it's got you down. If you had faith in what God said, you would never be discouraged. It wouldn't make any difference what anybody said to you or did to you. If they come out of here and run me out of town, tar and feather me, throw me off of the bluff, still, if God called me, I'm not defeated. I wouldn't be defeated. Down but not out. Get up. God would heal, raise from the dead if necessary. Tar and feather will come off. The bruises will heal. God's anointing will be there. He'll go on, and he'll do more things. Look at 3.5 million people out in the wilderness. And God says, all right, this people have turned from me. They won't believe me. They every time I promise them something, they don't believe in the promised land. They complain. They complain. We should have been back, go back to Egypt. We should go back to Egypt. We don't have any water. God's going to let us go die of thirst. And none of them had died of thirst. So how did they know he was going to die of thirst? You never know you're not going to get water the next minute. How do you know it's not going to be a great cloud burst in the next 10 seconds? They had no way of knowing that. How do they know he's going to let them die of thirst? How do you know you can't make it because it's difficult? You're still making it. How do you know you're not going to get any food? You're still living. And God says, okay, they want to go back to Egypt. He says, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to wipe them all out. And then he said, Moses, I will make of you a new nation, a greater and mightier nation than these. I don't need these 3.5 million people to do my job. I'll take you. And from you, I'll make a nation bigger and greater than this. See, God only needs a man. And if he can't find a man, he'll get a rock. That's what he said. Or even cause the rocks to cry out. After all, you made the same elements. He can make you, if he wants to, out of a rock. He can make you out of clay, dust, all the same elements. Everything's electrons, protons, neutrons, mesons, so forth. He just rearranged them, that's all. He doesn't need anybody's help. He created the world when it had nothing here. He doesn't need all your talents. He doesn't need all these things that you think you've got to have so God can use you. All he needs is your willing heart and trusting heart. Just believe him. He's called you to do the simplest task there is. Believe in the only one believable. Walk in him. Okay, I'm almost done. For I am persuaded. I am persuaded. We need to be persuaded. I'm trying to persuade you. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to move in your hearts and persuade you tonight. I am persuaded that neither death, if they kill you, or if they lie and remain alive, even in all the temptations that are there, whether it's life or death, angels, principalities, powers, things present, even things to come. A lot of you are worried about things to come. I'm not sure I'm going to make it through. Secret fear in your heart, right? Some of you? Secret fear. I'm not sure I'm going to make it through. Nor things to come. They will not separate you from the love of Christ. You don't have to fear things to come, my brother. You don't have to fear things to come. The greater the danger, the more he puts his wings about you. He'll see you through. Don't you have faith that he'll see you through? He said, well, brother, the boat's full of water and it's already beginning to sink. So then Jesus arose, the scripture said. He said, oh, you have little faith. What are you worrying about? It's because the boat's sinking. What are you worrying about? Well, the boat's full of water and we're going under. Well, what's that got to do with it? You mean you people are getting all panicky because the boat's sinking? Out in the middle of a storm-tossed lake? Oh, I'm ashamed of you. We don't want to drown. Oh, did you think I wanted you to drown? Who do you think I am? Jesus would say. You think I wanted you to drown? Is that what you thought, disciples? I wanted you to drown. That's what you thought. Well, I can see that would make you panic. But why would you think I would want you to drown? Well, we wouldn't really think you wanted us to drown. Oh, you thought that you would drown and I would never know it. Is that what you say? That's what you're thinking. Well, I can see you would panic if you thought I would not know it. But why would you think I would not know it? Did I not see Nathaniel under the fig tree around the hill? Don't I see the end from the beginning? Don't you see the indestructibility of the saints? Saw you up, throw you off a cliff, and do anything they want. Brother, you're safe in Christ. All you have to do is not be of those who draw back into perdition, but to continue on to the saving of the soul. Continue on to the saving of the soul. If you continue on, he'll save you. It doesn't matter what distresses come your way, what persecutions, what problems, what storms. It matters nothing if you will continue on through everything. You'll find your soul saved. But if you doubt God and you ask to be relieved and you walk away from God because you can't trust him, you can draw back to perdition. So you don't have to worry. Just go on with God. Never let anything stop you or slow you up. No height, no matter how high you get, no what depths you go into, no any other creature or creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Messiah, Yahweh the Savior, our Master. Now, it's like trying to take a cream separator. And when I was a boy on the farm, my grandfather would pour the milk from the cows, and he would turn the handle, and there's two spouts, and milk would come out of here and cream out of here. But they are so interblended by God that there has to be a separator to separate them. Now, God says that man has never been able to make a separator that will separate me from you, because you have become a living epistle, read and known of all men, and me and my word are inseparable. And you have become part and parcel with the Word until it's into your fibers and being. You are this Word in action. You are Jesus in operation. That you can't be separated from Christ. You have woven too much your thoughts, your life, your hope, your dreams, your love. Everything that you are and think and breathe is involved in your whole heart and love and concept of Jesus Christ. You say, well, brother, I'm worried about myself. I really am, because, you see, I believe everything you say, but, you see, the problem is, well, the reason I think I may go back is because I don't really love Jesus. If you don't love him, what are you worried about? That's a lie. You love him and you know it. If you saw Jesus standing there and a stranger, and they said, which one shall we abuse? You say, oh, 50-50. Make any difference. You choose. Which one would you love and take? Oh, any, many, many more. You don't love him. He means nothing to you. It makes no difference if they come and burn all of his churches down. It wouldn't affect your heart. Can they burn all the Buddhist monasteries down and not affect you? Wouldn't bother you, would it? Burn all the Hindu temples down, would that bother you? Burn all the spiritual churches down, would that bother you? Then you must love him to care about his churches that way. They beat up and abuse and persecute the saints, does that bother you? They jail the saints, does that bother you? They jail criminals, does that bother you? Is there any difference? Do you care about the heart of God? Do you care about your own soul in relation to him? Would you like to really be with him? Then it's a lie that you don't love him. You're just not trusting in his love, and therefore you're not feeling it emotionally, so you deny what is written. And if you didn't deny it, you could boldly say, I love him, and he loves me. You see how the devil can fool you into thinking you don't love him, and other people don't love you, and everything's all sour, when it's not all sorrow at all. And through it all, we sing, through it all. Maybe we've got to sing that. Jesus loves you. He gave you in the palms of his hand. He'll never leave you. You're going to get there. All you have to do is continue on. Trust in God. Continue on. Keep going on. Remember the vision I told about? I think it was a vision. I told about a wagon that was going, or maybe it was a parable. It was a parable, I guess it was, I told you. I told you a parable about a wagon that was going on a journey. And every time the wheel broke down, a blacksmith shop was over there, and they got it fixed. When something else broke, and they got it fixed. And that broke, and there was another blacksmith shop. That broke, and there was another harness shop. And the buckboard broke, and there was a buckboard shop. And the thing kept breaking down all the way on your journey. And you'd be tempted to give up. But there was always a shop to fix it. And if you keep on, what would happen? You would eventually get there. And that with every breakdown you have, God has a fix-it shop always right there. So what matter, it breaks down all the time. There's a fix-it shop. If you keep on going, you're going to get there. The problem can only be in yourself, called discouragement. So go over and lay down beside the trail and cry. Moan and groan and complain and say, I'll never get there. How do you know you'll never get there? Well, I'm always breaking down. That doesn't mean you won't get there. Keep going to the fix-it shop. Eventually you get your repairs so solid you won't be breaking down so often. You may end up on the other side remodeled so strong that you're stronger when you started. Sure, you'll get there. Have faith in God. Amen. Amen. Song, singers uphill. Through it all, or something. Hallelujah. I just felt to give this tonight because I just felt God wants to do something in our hearts.
Jesus, I can conquer a mighty army.
everyone said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song again. All with Jesus, we're going to make it all the way. I've asked the ushers to take the offering. I want to only say this. Last Friday night, we got $2,100. This morning, $1,600. $3,700. We needed $10,000. We're $6,300 short. Just do what the Lord wants you to do. Let's sing it again.
One scripture that I had on my heart tonight, and I had it on my heart in the last few services, and it goes along with the tenor of the service tonight. It says, and George brought it out in part. It says, being confident this very thing, that he, Jesus, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We know that God has called us here, and that he hath begun that good work in each and every one of us, and now is the time that we can go deep in God if during the time that we're going through these trials, that we trust him, that we go by his word and believe that he is doing that good work. You know, the devil, it says in the Bible, turns the heart of the children against the father. And if we realize the truth that God is righteous, just, full of love and mercy, and full of loving kindness, and that is what God has made up of all these good virtues, but it's Satan that comes against us as a cloud. He comes against us and tries to turn our hearts against God. He puts confusion in our minds, but if we trust God and continue to walk with him and believe that he is doing that good work that he has begun in our hearts, then God will see it through, and he might have all glory prepared on this other side for us if we trust him and be faithful to walk according to his word and believe that he hath begun that good work in us, and he will bring it to pass. He will bring it out to the fullness, and he will do that good work in us.
It's hard exercise for a man to get in and really pray, you know. It's easier just to kind of go out and just feel good about the service and forget it and greet one another. But I think that God would have us spend some time waiting upon Him. Just spend some time in the presence of God. Just talking to God and saying, "Yes, Lord. As for me and my house, Lord, we're going with You. Lord, I'm going to believe You. Lord, I'm not going to, forgive me, Lord, for ever talking negative, ever doubting You, whatever is not as faith as sin, Lord, and I'm sorry that I..."